today as we come to the table.
Declare his deeds among the peoples. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord. So we're going to be singing to the Lord throughout the earth. For he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. And the Holy One is Jesus. So they're going to be exalting Jesus and praising Jesus and giving him glory. How wonderful it's going to be to walk around to the millennial kingdom. Every store you go in is going to have just worship music praying. Everybody's going to be, hey, praise the Lord. No, praise the Lord. Bless you. No, bless you. You know, it's going to be whatever. And everybody's going to love each other. And really, you couldn't make a better movie. And yet it's reality.
What an incredible day that will be when the pain of this world is gone and we get to walk the streets of gold praising our Father in heaven. If you've ever experienced the feeling of worshiping along thousands of believers at a conference, you know just a little glimpse of that future that waits for you. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark will tell you about all the things prophesied in Isaiah that you have to look forward to after the events of Revelation. As a Christian, you'll get to experience the glory of God and Jesus as you spend eternity living free from the heartache and pain of this world. What a glorious day that will be. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Isaiah chapter 9 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Listen to what he says. What will you do in the day of punishment? When I show up and it's time to call a reckoning for what you've done to my people and to others for your own selfish and greedy gain, when I show up, what are you going to do? Where are you going to run? You can't hide on your yacht. I'm going to sink it. Your bank account won't help you. You can't eat gold. You're going to stand before me and you're going to be judged. This is pretty heavy. What will you do in the day of punishment? And in the desolation which will come from afar, to whom will you flee for help? And where will you leave your glory? Without me, they shall bow down among the prisoners, and they shall fall among the slain. Notice this, you should have been bowing down to me, but because you didn't bow down to me, now you're going to bow down to your enemies. Wow. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Woe to Assyria. Now, Assyria is the instrument that God used to judge Israel, but he's going to say, because you're going to think it's you and not me, I'm going to judge you after I'm done. But notice what he says, woe to Assyria, the rod of my anger and the staff in whose hand is my indignation. I will send him against, that is Syria, against an ungodly nation, that is Israel. So I'm going to use you to judge Israel and against the people of my wrath, which is Israel. I will give him charge to seize the spoil, to take the prey and to tread them down like mire in the streets. So this is me doing it. I'm going to let you do it. Yet he does not mean so, nor does he think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and to cut off not a few nations. So he's going to, not just Israel, he thinks I'm going to take everybody. And this is exactly what the Assyrians did. They start taking over that whole region, not just Israel. For he says, are not my princes altogether kings, and Calno like Carchemish? Is not Hamath like Arpad, and Samaria like Damascus? As my hand has found the kingdoms of the idols, whose carved images excelled those of Jerusalem and Samaria, as I have done to Samaria and her idols, shall I not also do to Jerusalem and her idols? So I'm going to judge Samaria, I'm going to judge Israel. You're going to be part, Assyria, of judging the northern tribes, but later on we know it's going to be Babylon judging Jerusalem. But now he says, because you think it's you, here's what I'm going to do. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Lord has performed all his work on Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, so you're already gone northern tribe, but we've moved on to Israel, the whole nation has been judged, that he will say, I will punish the fruit of the arrogant heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his haughty looks. For he says that as the leader of Assyria, by my strength or by the strength of my hand, I've done it. And by my wisdom, for I am prudent, and I have also removed the boundaries of the people and robbed their treasuries, so I have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man. Notice all the eyes. What does that remind you of? The spirit of Satan, right? I will ascend. I will do the same thing we see these other leaders do that are following the spirit of Satan, if you will. He thinks he's doing it. He doesn't realize God's doing it through him. He says, my hand has found like a nest the riches of the people. And as one gathers eggs that are left, I have gathered all the earth. And there's no one who moved his wing nor opened his mouth with even a peep. So I came and I took the riches from everyone. I just took everybody's riches and money and took it. Now God says to him, shall the axe boast against him who chops with it? Think about that. You know, you use an axe to cut the tree down, and the axe goes, wow, I did a pretty good job, didn't I? Who said that? I did down here, your axe. Wah! What, you spoke to me? Yeah, it's me. I'm down here. So what did you say? I cut down that tree pretty good, didn't I? What are you talking about? Well, you saw that tree. Just a couple of hits. It was down. Well, you didn't do that. I was holding the axe. Well, no. I'm the one. It was me. It was down. No, you didn't do that. I did it. I don't know why I lived out the whole scene with an axe and the guy came. But you get the point. God's saying, hey, it would be like, again, the surgeon. You know, you go in there and he does surgery on you. And whatever he's gone in to remove, you know, whatever it was, he takes it out and you find out, hey, they got it all and you're better, you're going to be fine. Oh, wow, where's the scalpel? What? Can I see the scalpel? I guess, sure. Can you bring a scalpel in here? Scalpel, I just want to thank you for what you've done. I mean, this really, you've set me free from this problem that I had. Whoa, what are you talking about? This scalpel took it. The scalpel didn't take it, I did. And God's saying, I used you as the scalpel. I used you as the axe and you're taking credit. Or he says, or shall the saw exalt itself against him who saws with it? You know, as the rod could wield itself against those who lift it up, or if a staff could lift it up as if it were not wood? You didn't do this, I did. Therefore, the Lord of hosts, will send leanness among the fat ones, and under his glory he will kindle a burning like the burning of a fire. So the light of Israel will be for a fire and his holy one for a flame. It will burn and devour his thorns and his briars in one day. So the judgment again at one day is going to happen in a moment of time. And it will consume the glory of his forest and in the fruitful field, both soul and body. So not just taking your body, but your soul's going to be condemned. He's saying if you don't repent, your soul's in danger, your eternity. And they will be as when a sick man wastes away. And the rest of the trees of his forest will be so few in number that a child could write them. So there's not going to be hardly any trees left. Your kids could even count them, the littlest ones. It shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as have escaped the house of Jacob will never again depend on him who defeated them, but will depend on the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel in truth. That is, in the last days, he says, when you finally recognize that it's me doing all this, you're not going to turn to other people to be your protection, even your own military or any other nation like America, Israel. You're going to look to me and say, I'm your defense. And that's what's going to happen in Ezekiel 38 and 39. When those armies come in against Israel and God wipes out the Russian army and the Iranian army and the Sudanese army and the Libyan army and the Turkish army, and they're all gathered together against Israel again. But as the Bible says, that battle's soon to come. We don't know when it's going to be. God says, I'm going to intervene and supernaturally wipe 5/6 of the army out. 5/6 of those armies, boom, gone. And I'm going to do it in such a way that you're not going to say, wow, what a clever plan we had, Israel. Wow, we really did this. Wow, how great we are. Wow, thank you for America or somebody else saving us. Well, he says, no, I'm going to do it in such a way that it's going to be so supernatural, everybody's going to know, even the rest of the world, that God did it. And when that happens, he's going to pour his spirit out on the nation of Israel. They're going to believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord. There's going to be that Jesus movement again there in Israel, if you will. And this is what he's talking about. You're not going to depend on other people. You're going to turn to me in truth at that time. There are remnants. He says the remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, to the mighty God. Remember who we saw in 9 verse 6 the mighty God was? Jesus. Let me read it now, putting that in there, because we identified mighty God. The remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, to Jesus. Isn't that great? I love it. For though your people, O Israel, be as the sand of the sea, a remnant of them will return. There's only going to be a small portion. The destruction decreed shall overflow with righteousness, for the Lord of hosts will make a determined end in the midst of the land. By the way, not every Jew is going to get saved. It talks about a remnant. He's going to pour his spirit out on the nation, but not every Jew is going to get saved. But Mark, why does it say in Romans that, and then that all Israel will be saved? Paul goes on to say, not all who say they're Israel are Israel. In other words, he gives the definition later. What he means is they all are Israelis. They all are Jews by genetics and descendancy, but they're not spiritual Israelis. They're not spiritual Jews. Now, I'm not replacing real Israel with the church, and I'm not doing any of that replacement theology stuff, but Israel's Israel, the church is the church. What I'm saying is just because somebody's a Jew and God says he's going to save all Israel doesn't mean that all the Jews are going to be saved, because not everybody who's a Jew, he says, is really Israel. It's even what John the Baptist, remember he talked to them at the riverbank, and he's like, you know what, he goes, you say you're children of Israel. He says, but the axe is laid at the root of the tree. You're not a real, you know, Jew. What makes you a real Israel is somebody who's in spirit and truth. That's a real believer, if you will. So he makes the distinction there. And so a remnant will return. The destruction decreed shall overflow with righteousness, for the Lord of hosts will make a determined end in the midst of the land. So it's going to come to an end at a certain point, and God already knows when that day is. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, O my people who dwell in Zion, do not be afraid of the Assyrian. Again, some believe that this may be a reference to the Antichrist. There are some reasons to believe that at certain times he called the Antichrist the Assyrian. Could be. But either way, some believe this particularly might be speaking of the Antichrist. Either way, we know it's speaking about the Assyrian leader at this time. He shall strike you with a rod and lift up his staff against you in the manner of Egypt. So the same way that Egypt oppressed you, he's going to do the same thing. For yet a very little while, and the indignation will cease. I'm going to let it go for a while. As with my anger and their destruction, and the Lord of hosts will stir up a scourge for him like the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb. As his rod was on the sea, so he will lift up the manner of Egypt. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. So God's going to rescue Israel in that day, and maybe, again, a picture of the Antichrist. Now notice, this is kind of interesting here, if you know the geography over there. When he says here in verse 28 and 29, he talks about the Assyrian army coming down toward Israel. It's very descriptive. And this hadn't happened yet. Remember, this is prophetic. He says, he came to Aoth. He passed Migron. He's moving down from the north down south. At Michmash, he has attended to his equipment. So he stops there at Michmash to deal with the mishmash. Then they have gone along the ridge. They have taken up lodging at Geba. They're getting closer to Israel. Ramah is afraid. So the people as the armies are coming by are fearing as they're getting closer to Israel. Gibeah of Saul has fled. Gibeah is right there, right outside of Jerusalem. He says, lift up your voice, O daughter of Galim. Cause it to be heard as far as Laish, that is Dan, the area of Dan. So all the way from Jerusalem to the very top of Israel, this whole region. Let everyone hear this. The majority of the land, he's saying, O poor Anathoth. Madmanah has fled. The inhabitants of Gabim seek refuge, that is from all these armies. As yet he will remain at Nob that day, and he will shake his fist at the mount of the daughter of Zion, the hill of Jerusalem. Now, Nob is basically, if you're standing on the Temple Mount and you see the Mount of Olives, okay, picture that in your mind. You've seen the Temple Mount, you've seen the Mount of Olives. Imagine you're on the Temple Mount looking at the Mount of Olives, and you go to the left, and up the left in that corner right up there, that's Nob. That's the reason he's talking about. That's the same area where Saul was, and remember Doeg, the Edomite, was there, and David came and got the sword of Goliath and all that. That happened at Nob. This is that same area. So he's saying what's going to happen is when the Assyrian army gets there, they're going to stop at Nob. They're going to look over Jerusalem. By the way, there's a great overlook at Nob. I've been to Nob and seen the overlook, you know, here recently. It's amazing. There's a great overlook right there from Nob. You can see the whole Temple Mount, the whole area. He's going to stop right there at that overlook. And he's just going to shake his fist and go, I will dominate you. I will be rule. I will this. And that's why, again, some believe this may be the Antichrist, as he's coming in to attack Jerusalem when he declares that he's God, when he's taking over the Temple Mount, trying to rule and reign the earth, if you will. He's going to be shaking his fist at God and shaking his fist at the Jews and saying, I'm going to be the one that's going to be ruling here. And so either way, it's a very ominous picture here of this Assyrian leader and or the Antichrist, whoever, maybe one, maybe both. But God's going to destroy him. He says, behold, the Lord of hosts, that is the Lord of armies. Okay, you're shaking your fist at me? You've come against the Lord of armies. You have no idea, Assyrian, who you're dealing with. You have no idea, Antichrist, who you're dealing with. Behold, the Lord of hosts will lop off the bow with terror. I'm going to make you shake in your boots. Those of high stature will be hewn down, and the haughty will be humbled. He will cut down the thickets of the forest with iron, and Lebanon will fall by the mighty one. Chapter 11, this is great. And now he talks about we got to the very end. Now we're jumping back to the birth of Jesus. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, the descendant of Jesse. Here we go, through David's line, and a branch. Jesus referred to here as the branch. He shall grow out of his roots, that is coming from the descendancy of David. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall be not judged by the sight of his eyes, nor decide with the hearing of his ears. He doesn't just look at a situation and listen to the details. There's a deeper judgment with our God, with our King, with our great judge. But he will judge, notice verse 4, with righteousness he'll judge the poor, and he'll decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, such power. And with the breath of his lips, he shall slay the wicked. The Bible says when he comes back at Armageddon, he's just going to speak and wipe out the armies of the Antichrist. Isn't that great? I love it. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins and faithfulness the belt of his waist. So coming back again with righteousness and faithfulness. Now he talks a little bit about what it's going to be like in the millennial kingdom during the 1,000-year reign. Remember, before the fall in the garden, the animals all got along. They were all friends. Everybody just, there was nobody eating each other. Nobody was fighting. Nobody was whatever. And when the fall happened, it not only caused all of our problems, but it also caused the animals to be at war with each other. And so that's why nature itself groans to be restored. So the Lord will come back. He will restore nature. And here's a snapshot of what's going to happen during the 1,000 years after Jesus comes back. Look at verse 6. The wolf will dwell with the lamb. I find that interesting that he mentions certainly all the animals will dwell together, but wolves normally eat sheep. But he's going to say the worst of enemies will now become the best of friends. Amazing. The wolf will dwell with the lamb. They're not going to bother each other. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. You know, there's not going to be, goat's not going to be worried about being, you know, dinner. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. Again, you see these young lions. They were the strong ones. They were the ones that everybody fears today. And you see this little child walking down the street holding on to his mane, just kind of, hey, mom, look what I found out back. Well, honey, well, he may belong to somebody. Let's not keep him, you know. And it's going to be amazing. I can't wait. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. By the way, I feel like I need to say this right here. Some of you that don't know, we've talked about it before prophetically. Remember, we're going to go in our new bodies during that 1,000 years. You will have your new body. You will not be married. You will not be having children. You'll be married to the Lord. You're the bride of Christ, whatever that means, however that's going to work. I think somehow we're all going to be connected by spirit somehow. You won't be, you know, you'll be, don't worry, you'll be fulfilled to every way, you know, so to speak. So, and we have our bodies. We have the eternal bodies. There it is. But there's going to be some that get saved during the Great Tribulation who will live all the way to the end of the tribulation. They will get to go into the millennial kingdom as just normal people. So when they go in as normal people, they will be getting married. They will be having children. And so when you read about children in the millennial kingdom, this is where they come from, okay? It's going to be the children of those who were saved, made it through the tribulation, entered into the millennial, and here's their kids. And so we'll see them. A little child shall lead them, all these animals and whatever. It's going to be so cute. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. No more, you know, chasing other animals down or us. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and a weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. I get this picture of the kid, you know, with his shoulder down there recently trying to grab the snake, and he pulled, look, mom, a viper. Now, right now, your moms are freaking out, okay? You won't freak out. Snakes won't scare you, okay? It's going to be the millennial kingdom. You won't be afraid, I promise. But you see these kids playing with these animals. It's going to be so cool, just so cute. And the snakes will be friendly and all. Anyway, I feel like we should have some little kids song we could all sing together. You know, talk to the animals or whatever. I don't know. Let's get focused, Mark. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, Jesus, who shall stand as the banner to the people. Jesus will be our banner. That means it's like when you raise your flag for your nation or your banner for your tribe. He's going to be, here's our leader. Here's our Lord. Isn't that great? This is the one we follow to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. It's going to be just glory and beauty there in Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in that day. That is when he gathers the nation back together. Now again, he's talking about leading up to this. He's jumping around prophetically a little bit. We just saw the millennial kingdom. Now to verse 11, we jump a little bit before the millennial kingdom. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will set his hand again a second time to recover the remnant of the people who are left. That is, there's going to be a second gathering. After Babylon took the Jews into Babylon, that was the first gathering back to the land. There's another gathering. It's happening right now. It really started in full swing in 1948. And all the Jews begin to move back to the land, move back to the land. God's still gathering them from all over the world. Israel's growing every year with new immigrants coming in from all over the world. God said, on the last days, I'm going to gather them back in the land, and they're going to be back in the land when I come back. This is kind of fulfilling God's promise of what he said. So it's talking about the second time he's gathering them. That is right now. We're living in this. The Lord will set his hand again a second time to recover the remnant of the people who are left from Assyria and Egypt, from Pathos, from Cush, that's there in Africa, from Elam and Shinar, from Hamath and the islands of the sea, so from all over the world. And he, excuse me, that is the Lord Jesus, will set up a banner for the nations. So Israel's going to be a banner to all the nations. They'll be the leading nation on the earth for that 1,000 years. And will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Also, the envy of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah. Again, Judah and Ephraim, the 10 tribes were always fighting with the southern tribes. You know, once they split up, you know, we're better. No, we're better. You know, we're better. No, we're better. They're fighting all the time. And they were envious because Judah had the temple, and Judah realized, hey, they've got 10 tribes. And they were always fighting. He said, that's not going to happen anymore. But they shall fly down upon the shoulder of the Philistines toward the east. Together they shall plunder the people of the east. They shall lay hand on Edom and Moab. These are all the peoples around Israel. God's going to give all the Israel this territory when he comes back. The people of Ammon shall obey them. That's modern-day Jordan. Moab, Edom, and Ammon are really modern-day Jordan. They shall obey Israel. The Lord will utterly destroy the tongue of the sea of Egypt. With his mighty wind, he will shake his fist over the river. That is the Euphrates. And strike it in the 7 streams. He's going to dry up the Euphrates, in other words, so the people can all come back without hindrance. He'll make men cross over dry shod. And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people who are left from Assyria, as it was for Israel in the day that he came up from the land of Egypt. So they're going to be rejoicing coming back to Israel in the last days, at this time, the way they were rejoicing when God brought them out of Egypt. It's already started. It's going to culminate in a great rejoicing as he gathers them from all over the lands. And there's only 6 verses in 12. I have to cover it because this is going to be the result when God does this. This is how they're going to praise God. So they're back, and here they go. It says, chapter 12, verse 1, says, and in that day you will say, that is the Jews, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger's turned away. You know, you're not angry at Israel anymore. And you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and my song and has become my salvation. So he has saved the nation of Israel. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. How picturesque. This whole well just of salvation, a vast, you know, drinking fountain. And you're going to be drawing it out, getting saved. And in that day, you will say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the peoples, make mention that his name is exalted, sing to the Lord. So we're going to be singing to the Lord throughout the earth, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. And the Holy One is Jesus. So they're going to be exalting Jesus and praising Jesus and giving him glory. How wonderful it's going to be to walk around to the millennial kingdom. Every store you go in is going to have just worship music praying. Everybody's going to be, hey, praise the Lord. No, praise the Lord. Bless you. No, bless you. You know, it's going to be whatever. And everybody's going to love each other. And really, you couldn't make a better movie. And yet it's reality. That's your future. So if you came tonight wondering, what's going to happen? The world's falling apart. This is your future. Focus on this. Yes, we live in this dark world right now, but we're to shine the light even as the Lord did there in the Galilee region, a place filled with darkness. The Lord shined and brought his light. We now are the ones shining the light to the world around us. Let our light shine. Let us get ready for the return of the Lord. We have a great day ahead. I think it's coming very soon. Again, only the Lord knows the timing of it. But when you look around at what's happening in the world today, things are happening rapidly. So many exciting things ahead, guys. So many exciting things. Enjoy the Lord. You have a great future ahead of you.
Thank you for joining us today for another broadcast of Come to the Table. Pastor Mark Kirk is coming to you from Calvary, Knoxville, in Knoxville, Tennessee. As Pastor Mark proceeds in his series on the book of Isaiah, we eventually see that Isaiah's words of warning go unheeded. Despite his best efforts, the people of Israel and Judah continue to rebel against God, and they open up attacks from the enemies in Assyria and Babylon. If this were any other nation, this would likely have been the end of their story, but not for Israel. See, as God's chosen people, the Lord supernaturally protected the Israelites, even in their rebellion and exile. We are given hope, even in moments of despair, because we know that the Lord will eventually make a way for all to come home. While we may have sinned in the past, the Lord gives us a clean slate and allows us the opportunity to make the right choices in the future. We're never going to be able to serve Him perfectly, but we can strive to serve Him as best we can every single day. If you'd like to learn more about what it means to serve God, you can visit our website at thewaymedia.net. While you're there, click on the Come to the Table link and then click on Questions and Comments so that you can get connected with us. You can also find more studies from Pastor Mark on various books of the Bible to help guide you in your own studies through God's Word. Well, we're just about out of time for today's program. Pastor Mark is going to continue his series on the book of Isaiah next time. So we hope you'll join us once again as we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.